The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are doing our Australian Survivor AU versus the World Fantasy Draft, and we are joined by the winner of Titans versus Rebels, Ferris. He's here to help us, or to maybe compete against us. That's a better word. Compete against us in a fantasy draft, and I'm super excited to have Ferris on. We've had two Australian Survivor guests and the two most recent winners. I got to say, that's a nice pat on the back right there. So, Ferris, thanks for joining.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm so excited to be talking about this. I'm like so excited about the entire season as well. So yeah, let's do this.
I'm excited. We're going to pick. So it's right now, it's McKenna, myself, and Ferris. Tegwith supposed to be here, maybe joining later. We were each going to pick three people. It is 7:15 in the morning right now. So, you know, maybe some sleeping, but we are going to take Tegwith, if she doesn't come, we're going to pick Tegwith's team for her, and she's going to be stuck with whoever she gets. And honestly, Ferris, it seems like you'd get the most joy out of doing that. So you might be the 100% one who's making the picks for her.
Yeah.
Do you know
who she is? I don't want to say she's getting the bottom of the barrel because they're all incredible players, but like,
I mean, it's AU versus the world.
Yeah. She's definitely not getting my first pick. So
I love that. I love that. I really do wish that there was like a player or two on here that I knew she absolutely despised, because she would absolutely, that would be wow. With Tegwith's first pick, we'll give her first pick overall, and she's going to take.
Yeah.
I feel like if I had to guess at who she probably is the smallest fan of on this season, because amazing cast, obviously everybody's been talking about it to death, but I'd probably bet it's King George. So I'm curious if any of us are going to pick King George, because I feel like that's probably going to be Tegwith's least favorite. So,
okay. All right. Wait, but who would be her most favorite? Maybe we should just pick those.
I got to assume it's where we're all at.
Okay.
Yeah, you know?
She's, I mean,
I know she's interviewed Kirby, right? So she's got to be stoked about Kirby. She's got to be very high on Kirby, right? Because she did exit press with Kirby, I think. So she's not getting Kirby. Who else could we make sure she doesn't get?
Yeah. Well, she's stuck regardless. So,
how do we want to do? So this season, first, let's talk about this real quick. Because first, I want to ask you, and I want to open this to you. This is our first podcast that we are doing about AU versus the world since it was announced that it's going to be just 3 weeks. How do you feel about the fact that this massive season, this huge, we're getting the three of the most iconic US players, seven iconic Australian players, four players from around the world who are either first place or second place finishers. We're getting this huge battle royale, and it's going to be over by the first week of September, and we're recording this on August 14th. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I expected a bit more foreplay from the Australian network. I'm not going to lie. 3 weeks is a bit too quick for my liking. We like to stretch it out a bit. So, yeah, look, I think they're going for the whole jam-packed action in the next 3 weeks. Everyone's not going to have time to breathe or take a break. I think that's the whole aim about it. I guess it's okay. I personally want it to be dragged out a bit more. I feel like there's... The Survivor community likes to talk a lot of crap, and we need more time to talk all this crap. 3 weeks isn't enough.
Yeah. It's
okay. I'm not complaining. We get like the most incredible season ever. So I'll take what I can get for now, Phil.
For me, I think what the disappointment of this is let's say something awesome happens in episode two. We're moving on to episode three right away. And like there is no time to digest that, to do the podcast, to just let people talk it through. You know, like I know Shannon obviously does a great job over at RHAP, and you have No Buffs doing their podcast this year. I saw Survivor Now is now getting exit interviews. Like there's so many people in the community who are so excited about this. Like I pretty much started watching Australian Survivor because I heard this was coming, and I was like, well, I better hurry up and catch up because I hadn't seen anything. And like, so for the last year and a half, I've just been watching Australian Survivor, and now it's like, oh, like this thing that we've been hyping for so long, it's over so fast. And if we get this huge thing that happens in episode two, I want to sit with that for a little bit. And I thought that they would do two episodes a week, maybe for 7 weeks. They seem to do an episode per player every season, like normally 24 episodes. So I was also surprised it's only 10 despite being 14 players.
Yep. Yeah,
I would have capitalized on having all of these people sharing and being like, I'm playing this. Hey, come watch this for as many weeks as possible.
Yeah.
I think they're going with the hard and fast train. They want to get, you know, the biggest players. They want it to be marketed everywhere in such a short amount of time so nobody can escape it in those 3 weeks. So who knows? It might work, you might not. But we get the 10 episodes in a short amount of time. So I guess I'm happy.
Yeah. And then obviously the last thing is this will be JLP's last season. Ferris already making the facial expressions there. So also like a rushed version of the last JLP. How do you feel about that, Ferris? You're just shaking. Your head cannot stop shaking for anybody who's only listening.
Yeah, no, I think anyone like, especially like for the players on Australian Survivor, like it stings. It really does sting. Like it's going to be really, really rushed, and like again, it's easy to forget it. Like when you've got so many things happening in this season, you sort of forget for a second that it's actually JLP's last season, and it's kind of sad. I don't want it to now. I definitely don't want it to be 3 weeks. Like it's gonna feel like it's gonna be over too soon. He's gonna be breaking up with me or something. So I don't know. I think I've got to prepare my tub of ice cream. You know, we need to do some sleepovers, feel braid each other's heads, and like think about. I didn't get over this whole bullshit.
I love that. I know it's like the face masks are going to be out, like, right? Like I need that. And honestly, I need one at 7 a.m. anyway. So it's just like, I feel bad here because like I said, I just binged this. I'm on it for anybody who's a patron. The first Titans versus Rebels episode just came out on the 8th. So like, I'm almost finally caught up. I feel like I'm finally in the AU space. And like, yeah. I feel like I did this. Like, am I the one who made like this happen? I finally caught up. I love JLP. I think he's great. And now he's gone. And that's it.
You're going through all the stages of grief very, very quickly. And you're getting dumped by JLP in like probably the next 3 weeks. So
yeah,
you got to prepare yourself emotionally for this field.
It's like I just met the guy and now he's
already leaving me.
Well, and it's funny, like I was at the Ron Clark event. He always hosts an event in Atlanta during the seasons. Ron, who played on Edge of Extinction. And at that event, a fan had asked, who do you think will take over for Jeff if Jeff ever leaves? And Johnny Fairplay got up with his, you know, he had his wrestling belt on his shoulder and he was, you know, he'd only had like one or two drinks at that point, whatever. But he gets up and he goes, you're all going to be pissed, but it should be JLP. And like half the crowd was like, who the hell is that? And the other half was like, oh yeah, that's the Australian Survivor guy. So that was only in, what, April? And it's like that, like Fairplay saying that in April, because we're in like just finishing Brains versus Braun 2. And now all of a sudden it's like, that's it. It's August and we're done with that. And like, I don't know. It's just crazy. I know. There's the tier. We'll see. I know the rumor is that the Golden God is going to be gracing our screens again and again and again. We'll see how he does. I mean, David's good TV. You can't say he's not, but yeah, but we'll see. All right. For this fantasy draft, look, obviously we're the only ones who are going to be keeping track. This is for bragging rights. This is, again, the whole point of this podcast now is to give Tegwith the worst possible tribe, which is actually not that easy with the contestants that we have. No. Like, we could butcher this really, really badly. I know that the first ever fantasy draft I did on this podcast, and I know, Ferris, I don't think you've seen Worlds Apart, which was season 30 of US Survivor, which you're not really missing much. But the first ever podcast we did, it was myself and Will, and we each picked six people, and then we did a phantom tribe of six people. So we were just like, these are the leftovers, whatever. The last pick I made in that draft was the winner of the season. So we were that close to putting the winner of the season on the tribe of rejects that we didn't want. And so I feel like I am probably not the best person to be determining who I think is going to be terrible on this. I might end up just giving Tegwith the winner and maybe even second place. Well, here we are.
I want to say, let's just give her the most obvious person that's not going to win. But you can't actually say that in this season at all because, like, again, like, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, like, you actually don't know what the hell's gonna happen.
because like I remember watching Brains vs. Braun 1 and I stayed pretty unspoiled on this show. Like I really didn't know what was going on. And so I was like, oh, I know King George, people really like him. I watched that. And then I'm like, well, I said to McKenna afterwards, I was like, well, I guess he goes early on Heroes versus Villains. And there he is.
Was just like,
probably not real.
and he's in position to win. And I'm like, okay, that's where Australian Survivor is so different, because I think in US Survivor, like we saw Tony come out and play his second time and get booted right away. We saw Sandra come out after her second win and get booted pre-merge. We've seen Parvati get booted really early in Winners at War. Like when people get those targets, they do tend to go early more often than not. But in Australian Survivor, people are so much more willing to work with those players. So I have no idea. But in terms of scoring, do we care that much? Like, are we just going by placement? Should we do anything with individual immunity wins, successful advantage plays, like idols, whatever? Like, how do you feel?
Are we throwing that in the mix as well? We could, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how that'll work, but please show me.
The more points that I can get, the better, Phil.
Like I said, I woke up at 6:15. I took a shower. And then I said, let me just write this down and see what this would look like. So follow with me if you can here. I'm just going to be saying a bunch of numbers. But if you get last place, that's -5. If you get 13th place, that's 0. And then spots 12 through 6 are just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points. Top 5, you get 10 points. Fourth place, 12 points. Third place, 15. Second place, 18. First place, 20, right? So, like, if you get the winner, you're heavily rewarded.
Okay.
And then individual immunity we could do like is 3 points. And then maybe we do a successful advantage play, meaning what Raymond does on your season or what you're supposed to do with immunity idols, right? Play them when you're getting the majority of the votes. You would get maybe 5 points for that. That's what I'm thinking, because it's like, you know, that can get a little hairy when it comes to what's a successful advantage play. But I think if it affects the outcome of a vote, the affects a tribal council, I think that would be considered successful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Phil, you're going to be our stats guy then. You're going to have to keep track.
Of course. McKenna, okay. you want to send the text to Austin that says we need a graphic for Instagram of like the updated tribes. We're gonna need that for sure. And like I said, since there's 14 people, which is such a weird number. We've never actually had a Survivor season start with 14. Even US, they've all had at least 16. We're gonna have 4 tribes here, 3 people on each tribe. So even if your person goes out maybe in 8th place, if they can win an immunity or two, that can help you. If they play an advantage correctly early, really you're just trying to get away from the last 2 people. And hopefully those are the 2 people that we leave left over. And everybody starts thinking we read spoilers or something, you know, that's always the good stuff. how do we want to pick the order here?
We could go to a wheel. We could randomize it somehow,
we can do like the little Google wheel.
Yeah, I feel like Ferris is he's looking for screen sharing capabilities. Sorry, I'm like tripping over my words this morning, guys. I'm hanging in there. My brain is awake. My mouth is like, what is going on?
Still trying to catch up.
Yeah.
On a lag.
Okay. Wheel of Names.
Oh, you like Wheel of Names too. I love that.
Yeah, Wheel of Names is the best.
Okay. Do you want me to write it? I'll write it up.
Go ahead.
McKenna and then Phil.
But don't forget
Tech.
No,
Tech would go last automatically, right? Okay. Okay. Oh, are we doing it? Depends. Okay, no, you're right. Yeah. That's right.
Because we should snake this draft, and when we get to Tegwith, we're all coming to agreement of, yeah, she can have that person. She's going to up and be horrified when she listens to this. She's going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. And it's going to be like, yeah, we feel bad too. Here's King George. Like, get out of here.
George. Okay. So we wrote all of our names, yeah, including Ted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do I share my screen or do you guys trust me enough for me to tell
Does
you?
Does it show? Yeah, you can. You know what? We'll trust you enough because I'll see the light in your eyes here as it happens. Okay. All right. You played such a straightforward game on Titans versus Rebels. Yeah,
always honest, never lying.
Okay. Ready?
Drrr.
Okay. I'm not even joking.
I'm first. Oh, you're first. Okay.
I swear to you, I promise you. Phil, I'll take photos. I promise you. I'll show you. Okay. All right. So
$1 million isn't on the line here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is not the thing to be ultra competitive about, Ferris. I promise. This is okay. How many times did you click the wheel of names before you finally came up first?
No, I promise you once. Okay. Phil, you're next.
Okay.
And then I guess McKenna then Teg, or are we?
Yeah, let's.
I'll give Teg the third pick. I'll go last. I'll,
to be honest, oh, you want Teg with that third?
Teg won the third one, anyways.
All right, great.
All right, so I have my spreadsheet here. We're ready to go. I have the scoring. I'll make sure that we get updates out.
It, right?
What'd you say?
We're snaking it, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Ferris will get the first pick, and then he doesn't pick again until 8. Ferris doesn't get to go first and fifth. That would be crazy. Okay. Then he would have rigged it. There's no doubt. Yeah.
All right. So I choose a winner pick. That's what we're doing first.
So you're pretty much just going by, you're trying to figure out who you think is going to win. Like I said, we'll go by the individual immunities, 3 points, advantage, successful advantage play is 5. And then the point scoring can be like, it's going to be like the better you place, the more points you get. This way, it's not just, you pick the winner, you win. Because if you have first pick and you pick the winner, I'm going to be like, well, I didn't even get a chance. So I want to have a chance.
All right. My first winner pick will be, I gotta go with my girl Kirby.
I would have been shocked if you didn't.
Yeah. Look, I have to go with Kirby. Kirby's my number one. I think she can get it done. I've got the utmost belief in her.
Do you think that there's going to be any type of advantage or disadvantage being that she's the most recent player on the Australian Survivor tribe?
Yeah, so I actually thought about this the other day. I think depending on the personality, it can be either or. With Kirby's personality, it's definitely an advantage.
Okay,
100%. It is an advantage to like not have, and also sorry, not have any connections. I think that's her biggest advantage. Being on the most recent on the more recent seasons, I actually don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't think a lot of the Australian tribes have watched every single season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing, especially the more recent ones. Like, at least, like, I don't think David would have seen, the more recent season, unless it was like last minute watching or whatever. But even then, that doesn't really count as recency bias if you're binging a bunch of seasons to like study other people. But I don't think it'll be that much of a disadvantage for her. I think she can turn it into an advantage. So yeah, I think Kirby can definitely pull it off.
Yeah, like we have this comment here from Srivatsan Krishnan who says not having connections is an advantage, ? But I agree with you because I think coming into this season, there are so many people who have played together. Like obviously Parvati and Sari, and then Parvati and Tony have played together. Then you have a lot of AU people who have played together. And so I do feel that not being connected means that you really truly could play with anyone. Now
you're a free number.
And some people could look at that as a negative. Like you said, Ferris, it depends on the player because some people would come in and be like, oh God, I have no connection. I'm screwed. But Kirby's the type of player who feels like she wants to be that free agent who can, go back and forth. I mean, as I'm watching Titans versus Rebels, like I said to you, I'm just getting up to her boot episode. I just watched Kitty go. And as I'm watching, it's like, are Kirby and Ferris friends or are they enemies? Like, just tell me the answer, guys. I just want to know. Like, I'm tired of the will they won't they here. Like, come on. And that's how it feels. And I feel like that's how she'll want to play this season, where if you come in with too much of a connection, you might not feel that you have that wiggle room that is necessary.
Also, sorry, McKenna. Go ahead.
No, you. I had Kirby as my third pick, and I almost considered her like leaving off the list because I doubted I would even get to be able to pick Kirby because she is just like a great overall great player, well-rounded, like we were talking about, because she is physical in the challenges, strategic, social. She's got like everything going for her, I think.
I think that the main reason why, like, her not having connections is an advantage is because, number one, she's in a tribe of seven people. There's six other people in that tribe. I think about three of them is looking for revenge. Mm-hmm. And that's got nothing to do with Kirby.
That's true.
Usually going to be one side against another side. It's not going to be one person against another person. So you're going to see people naturally group together. And then when people naturally group together, Kirby is going to be literally the only number in the middle. So anyone, if Shawnee's looking to get out George, Shawnee's approaching Kirby as one of the first people. If David's mm-hmm. looking out at George because he wants, you know, he's a bigger player, Kirby's going to be a number. If George wants to get someone else, Kirby, again, is going to be a number. This is why not having connections in this specific scenario with her personality is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first season of Australian Survivor to ever start with odd numbered tribes. Like it's always been 8 or 12 on Australian Survivor. So the fact that it is seven, she could find herself right in the middle. I mean, just looking at the cast, Sarah and Luke played together. Luke obviously has played with a lot of people. He also played with David and he played with Janine, which means Janine and David have played together. So you have those players just right off the bat, which stands out. And then obviously Shawnee and George, and you mentioned revenge. I think Shawnee's going to be looking for revenge big time against George from what happened in Heroes Villains. Kirby, she doesn't want to be a pawn. She wants to control the game, but she gets to be useful at least one or two tribal councils before anybody turns and says, hey, what if we just like, what if Kirby just cruising through? She's going to win. Like, what are we doing? That's stupid.
Just to add to it as well, not only is that such an advantage, but also the fact that she doesn't owe anyone anything. Like, think about the players going into the game, going with allies. Like, I feel like maybe David feels like he owes Luke something, or like there are people going in feeling like they naturally have to be paired together or they have to owe something to the other. Kirby owes nothing to anyone. She could literally break someone's trust one tribal council, and in the next she can hop and there won't be any bad blood as much as, you know, Luke betraying David, for example, right. You know? So again, so many perks to not having connections. So that's why she is my number one draft pick.
I love it. Well, me going second, this is going to be a, this is a pick to thwart what McKenna wants. Okay, so I'm just going to say that right off the bat, because McKenna is going to pick twice in a row after I pick. Or Tegwith's going to be in there, but McKenna's going to get two picks before I get to pick again. And so I can't let McKenna get the two people that I know she wants the most. Like, if McKenna could build her dream team, Kirby was third, like she said. I know that Parvati is going to be one, and she knows she's safe on that one. I'm not going to take Parvati. I don't know if Parvati can pull this off, so you're safe there. But I'm going to take Shawnee. I'm not going to let McKenna get Shawnee and Parvati.
That was not my second, Phil. You're the best.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I guess that means that she's probably going to go with Sarah, but that's okay. I'm going to take Shawnee here, and I just can't let McKenna have Shawnee and Parvati on her tribe, because if those two do pair up at some point, McKenna's going to be intolerable. Like, I can't sit here and listen to her at that point. So
don't worry. If Sarah and Parv team up, I will also be as intolerable.
was Shawnee your four then?
Sari was my four and Shawnee's my five. So she's definitely
Okay, so she's further down than I thought. Five. Okay. Honestly, though, I feel like Shawnee's in a pretty good spot here because she is so social and because she's going to be coming in so pissed at King George. And I need to say this off the bat, as somebody who's been binging Australian Survivor, I know that like King George can be polarizing to people. I think King George is the most entertaining person I've seen. No offense, Ferris, because you're up there too, but I think King George, the character.
Yes.
Like King George to me feels like the Rupert when bigger than life. When Rupert played in Pearl Islands, he kind of took Survivor to that next level. Or when Russell came and he played, and it was like, you know, people forget how popular Russell was, but for those three seasons, it was like, holy crap. Like, everybody wanted to see what's Russell going to do next. King George is so entertaining. I think King George is so screwed on this season because I think Shawnee is coming out there saying, you voted me out. You didn't need to. You blew up my game. Then I got voted off the jury. I didn't even get to vote for my queen, Liz, to win. I think she's going to come out fired up. And honestly, I think the rest of that tribe is going to say, all right, Shawnee, we'd rather play with you. I think David would play with her. I think that Sarah and her will get along. I think Janine probably gets along with her. Kirby probably gets along with her. So I have to sit here and say, that's my number one.
The only thing that I might say is David might want to lean more toward George because of their god and king status, where it might be like they want to keep the – do we want to take out George? Do we want to take out David? Let's keep them both. Like, he might want to keep George as another target for him to evade another tribal council.
That's true.
That's a good point. And just to add to what you said, like, in terms of his entertainment value, it's such a testament to who King George is. Like, if you see a lot of the interviews that the promos that are being released from the World Tribe, everyone knows King George. Everyone, like all the players, all the international players, like he's the reason why like Australian Survivor did make it on that global stage. Because he's such an entertaining and polarizing, you know, not just character, but person. That's King George. Like, everything you see on TV, that's literally him. So, yeah, no, definitely.
It's funny because when I wasn't watching the show, I'd heard a lot about King George, right? Like, I was hearing about King George anyway. Yeah. And, like, I talked to Fairplay quite a bit. So that also probably helps because he's friends with King George. And, you know, I know King George stayed with him for a while when he was in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so, like, but, you know, Fairplay is going to hype up his people. That's what Fairplay does. Like, he does the wrestling thing. He hypes up his people. So I was like, okay, sure. Like, King George, how great really is King George? Like, sure. And, like, Fairplay, he is, like, he's why I want to watch Australia instead of U.S. And then I got to his seasons. And, like, when you think about when his seasons were airing, too, it wasn't during his first season especially was not airing during a very good stretch of U.S. Survivor. And so I totally understand why people really cling to him so much because he was playing an entertaining, aggressive, over-the-top game and was he was towing that line of villain slash entertaining that we weren't really seeing from U.S. Survivor at that time. So it makes a lot of sense. And I think he's doomed on this season. I really do. Like, I've already said that so many times. I think he's so doomed. He's got to find an idol or an advantage right away or he's in trouble. But from an entertainment standpoint, like, He is so good, and I understand why he gets the following that he does.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
All right, McKenna. Well, you know you're going to get your two people because you are essentially picking back to back. We have Tegwith in there who doesn't seem like – I don't think she's going to make it, so you should be good. It would be funny if you pick one and then she comes in with a surprise and takes her But I don't think we're going
to get it. I was spun on the wheel fourth, so.
Well, that's true. So we're actually going Tegwith next. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Ferris. Who's Tegwith get?
King George.
Yeah. Okay. My bottom pick was George. I was like,
only because only. Done. Yeah, only because. Yeah, no, I don't. If that's her least favorite, then King George.
Yeah,
that's what you like.
I feel like too, like with King George, like Ferris, do you see a winner potential at all from him on this season?
See, I hate answering these questions because they're like, oh, Ferris knows something or he doesn't know something or whatever. But honestly, as a fan, like watching this, no, of course not. I don't think he's going to win. I think he's completely stuffed. I think going into the tribe with the connections he has, he's already stuffed. I think going in, he's already. And I think he knows that. I think he knows that he's already screwed. George isn't dumb. He knows what he can work with and what he can't work with. And I think King George is definitely limited compared to other players and is in a very much worse off situation than other players. So let's give Teg King George.
Yeah.
And it's like you, of course, want to be on a huge season like Australia versus the World, even if you yourself think, well, this is going to be a big uphill battle for me to do anything with. But
Definitely. You're still going to go on. You're still going to do your best. And you're obviously still going to try it, you know, as hard as you can. But, you know, whether we like it or not, that's the cards that he's dealt with. Yeah. And you know, it'd be great. It'd be amazing if I eat my words and he makes it to the end. But I also call everybody else very, very, very dumb for letting him go through to the end.
Yeah. I just don't see any world in which it happens this time around. Like, he would have to get so many things. He doesn't have the people who I think would be willing to let him get his feet in.
Oh, for sure.
He would have been better off if he was able to be with like Tony and like R maybe, and maybe like a Tommy. That might have helped him, but I don't think this is helping at all. Yeah. So
I'm with you.
All right, McKenna, we already know your picks, but go ahead.
Yeah. Ferris hasn't been graced by my like Survivor wall. I have a signed picture of Parvati. So Parvati is my number one overall draft pick. I love her. She is my favorite Survivor player of all time. Even if she is first boot, I'm still going to be happy because she is on my screen yet again. And I never thought like rewatching Survivor, because I didn't hit it live until Millennials versus Gen X, that I would get a chance to see her play. And now I've seen her a few times on my screen and it's been amazing. So Parvati, my first overall pick.
Great pick. Great pick.
Yeah, Parvati gets to the merge. I think that, like, because I don't know what the merge is even going to look like on this season, but if she gets to playing with the AU people, I feel like the AU people and her would really, really get along. Like, obviously, she has the connection with David from Deal or No Deal Island, but like her and Shawnee, her and Sarah, I think her and Janine, I think they all really, really get along. So she just has to get through that first portion of the game. And like we've seen, like the U.S. players are outnumbered by the rest of the world. But McKenna and I, we were sharing Instagram stories back and forth. And there's one of Lisa being like, I want to play with like these icons or whoever. And it's like, oh, so that's how. Yeah, like that's how Tony, Sari, and Parvati get their numbers. You know what I mean? Like there is a player on there who is clearly more willing to work with the U.S., and Parvati could absolutely make a run. I mean, her stands would be intolerable.
Intolerable,
but it's like they would be
when she wins and you're not here for the finale week, man, Phil, you're going to miss it.
Everybody's going to think I'm missing out like on purpose. Like I'm not here finale week already, no matter who wins. Like Tony could win this thing and I still can't be here because I'm in Europe. So it's not my fault. It's the short schedule's fault. But this is going to be, if Parvati wins, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can take that.
Well,
I've never watched a Survivor season from Parv. Sorry, everyone. Like everyone keeps giving me shit for it. And you know what? I accept that because I watched Deal or No Deal Island and I watched her for the first time and I completely understand it. All of it makes sense. All of it from start to finish about Parvati makes sense. Parvati will fucking eat me alive. She would ruin me. I will believe everything Parvati says, tells me. I will think Parvati is probably in love with me. I'd be that delusional. Like, she is that incredible and that magnetic that, like, you can just see it off the screen. You really can. And I think if there is anyone, obviously, look, they're all big names, but you've got like a bunch of like four people in this season where if any of them wins, it would just be absolutely insane. And Parvati's definitely one of them. If she wins, it would be the most craziest, ridiculous thing. But if anyone can do it out of, you know, that little bunch of legendary, you know, incredible players, it's actually her. And I 100% believe that. So, you know, she's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like if she wins this season, the people who are like, she's the greatest of all time, she's better than, you know, Sandra and Tony. It's like, I get where the sentiment comes from. It's still a shortened season. I'll put the asterisk next to it already so I kind of can't get too big of a head here.
When she wins her second U.S. season, that's not happening. But when she does.
Here's what I want you to do, though, Ferris, when you do watch a Parvati season, watch them in order. Because I'm genuinely curious what you think of her Cook Islands game. She goes from Cook Islands to Fans vs. Favorites, which is the one she wins, and then Heroes versus Villains. But watch that Cook Islands game first, because nowadays people are like, she's always been an icon. After Cook Islands, nobody was clamoring for Parvati comeback. And it's really fascinating with how massive she's become, because after Cook Islands, it was like, oh yeah, she, like when she gets on Fans vs. Favorites, it's like, yeah, she was kind of interesting. And then she plays such a crazy game with Sari and Amanda in Fans vs. Favorites that's really what elevates her. But watch it in order so that you're not like, you get to watch like Parvati kind of grow into herself throughout her run.
That's so interesting.
Don't do what AU was suggesting for a rewatch, because they told you to rewatch the worst of everybody's seasons, yeah. I feel. So, like, I was looking at it, I was like, where is Fans versus Favorites? Because this is some bread and butter for Suri and Parvati. And they were like, no, watch these other seasons. And I was like, that's a choice.
Yeah. There's an ongoing like joke with me and like the Survivor fans on Twitter about like me having never watched a US Survivor season, yeah. And I keep gaslighting the entire Survivor community saying I'm watching like a random US season, like Survivor season like 24, and it always ends up being like a really bad season, and everyone just tells me off and screams at me as to why I'm watching such a weird season. And I still have not watched a single season, and I refuse to now. I still won't do it.
See, you're doing what I did with AU, where people were telling me AU was better, and I was like, I need to put my foot down. I watch Survivor because I like US. Like, I don't care. And people are like, no, you have to. And I just put my foot down. And then it eventually got to the point where I was like, all right, they're going to do some US players. I need to watch this. Like, I need to actually catch up. And I didn't have a choice. So there's going to be a moment for you, Ferris, where it's going to happen. And then you're going to go back and you're going to start from the beginning. You're going to watch Borny. You're going to go, what the hell is this?
Like, I'll even like gaslight them the opposite way. I'll like tell them a really good season that I started watching. And then like a week later, I'll be like, oh, I got bored from it. I stopped watching halfway.
Yeah. Go watch Kageon and tell everybody like that was not that good. Tony's not even that good of a player. Like, what are you talking about? And as I say that, here's Daryl Seymour saying Survivor 20 at Kageon is the peak season of your Survivor. So just go say
that's the one season I kept hearing of, because that kept getting compared to Titans versus Rebels for some reason. And I don't know anything about the season or what the season is, but apparently it's a very messy season as well.
It's Tony's winning season, and Tony plays that same type of aggressive, like in your face game. And it's a lot of back and forth. Like, there's a stretch in Kageon where a lot of the same tribe goes back to back. But just because they were on the same starting tribe doesn't mean they were all aligned. So the reason that they're going isn't just because, oh, we wanted to get rid of it. It's like, no, that's just how much back and forth there is. And it probably has a top five, in my opinion, tribal council, which is the merged tribal council of that season, is like top five all time. Two idols played, like crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So yeah, it's awesome.
I might watch it too in 2 years.
You won't. No way. When Ferris gets onto an AU versus the world type thing, or when he gets called, hey, can you come play US Survivor? Then he'll say, yeah, every season, somebody do this with me. What do I do?
Phil, I need you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'll tell you what, 48 seasons of US Survivor, I think, is still less screen time than 10 or 11 seasons of AU.
No way. It's close.
It's close. It's 13 episodes a season and they're 45 minutes long. You guys are 24 episodes a season and you're all over an hour almost every episode.
Yeah, you're right. It is close, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right, McKenna, who's your second pick now that
surprise.
We first one?
Sarah is my second pick. She was my winner pick when watching 2017. And she was close. Not close enough, but then my male winner pick from 2017 was Mark. He went on to win, so I'm betting on Sarah. I hope she comes in to play this season, and I know everybody has been clamoring to try and get her back and get her playing again, and I'm so excited that she is.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's long overdue. It really is. Like, I was surprised watching 2017 that Sarah had never played again. I just assumed, as I was going through, people would always kind of give me the updates for those earlier seasons of this person plays again, this person plays again. Because also with AU versus the world, like Tarzan plays again, AK plays again. It doesn't matter for placement, right? It's not like they're saying, oh, you got to be top 10 to play again. It was maybe 21st and play.
Yeah,
so I was like, all right, just tell me who plays again. And when Sarah's name didn't come up, but so many other people from 2017 did, I'm like, what did Sarah do wrong? And finally. So,
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Now we just need Annalise from that season to get her second chance, considering how badly she got, like, screwed there.
Big time. There's a lot of people that need.
Yeah. I got to remember to ask you that at the end, Ferris. I want to ask you about Titans versus Rebels with like returning players. I don't know if this, we could just talk about it now. Maybe it makes the most sense, but like, I really feel like your cast is probably going to have an insane amount of returning players if the opportunity arises. No,
I was actually speaking about this funnily enough with one of the people in the cast. I agree. I 100% agree. I think our season has probably, if not the most incredible cast out of all the seasons. Like, I could name you from start to finish every single person, and they would have had some sort of value added to the season, to the story, to the whatever it is from start to finish. So there's going, I definitely think there's going to be a huge chunk of people from our season going back to play another time. So maybe they're going to have to separate, you know, split that up, because yeah, there's too many incredible people on that season that deserve a second chance, definitely.
And it's like, obviously, like we were talking about the confessional count and things like that, but like even some of the people with smaller confessional counts, like Raymond has maybe the biggest moment of the season, like with that, right? Like, and I know you wanted best supporting actor, which you got your Oscar, but it's like, you know, he barely had screen time for most of the season, but then he does that. And so like when I'm watching this season, I feel like with the final 12 of your season compared to the final 12, a lot of other seasons, I know everybody on that season. And it seems like, you know, why wouldn't you bring back a lot of those? And then in the pre-merge, you have Gary.
Everyone. You could literally make a case for almost everyone. Like even like the earlier boots, like Viola, for example, is such an incredible like casting decision. And she's an incredible, like, you know, character, person, player. Like, I see no reason why she wouldn't get called back a second time. Someone like Viola, you know? But yeah, no, definitely. I 100% with you.
Yeah, I know. And it's obviously like Kirby comes onto this season. And I think even Kirby just being on this season speaks to that level that the producers really like your cast, because to be going from really the classic AU seasons to be pulling all these multi-time players and then turn around and say, Kirby, you belong with them. I think that says how much they revere the cast, though.
And mind you, she's never watched an Australian Survivor season before, which is...
Well, has she watched since?
I don't think so. I actually don't think she did watch. I actually don't think she studied for it. I don't know. I could be wrong because she didn't tell me anything, and I was swearing at her while she was, you know, playing. When I found out, I was leaving her voicemails, like swearing at her and everything around her. You should have seen the text message on that one. Super excited for it all. But I think, our season again, not to brag or anything, but honestly, good on my cast. A lot of them do deserve a second shot. And I think I remember once someone wrote on Twitter saying, I would happily rewatch another season of Titans versus Rebels with the exact same cast, just play it again, just to see what would happen a second time. Yeah. So I'm with them. I love my cast. I'm biased. I don't care.
Yeah. And I do think, like, you know, obviously I watched Brain vs. Braun 2 because I watched that one live, did it for the channel, and then I was still going through the older AU seasons. But after watching now Titans versus Rebels and then seeing what they do in Brains vs. Braun 2, it's very clear that they were inspired by the gameplay of Titans versus Rebels. And I do think that, you know, depending on what we see with AU versus the World, depending on what we see with whatever the next season of Australian Survivor is, Titans versus Rebels might be that one that kind of takes it to that next level. Because obviously George kind of played that way where he was willing to say, now I got to go to you, now I got to go here. But it was really more of like one player or two players. Whereas it feels like with Titan versus Rebels, the entire cast got on board with it. And JLP even says, you all seem willing to work with or against each other. And then Brains vs. Braun 2 really kept that momentum from it.
Yes. Definitely. No, couldn't agree more.
So,
okay. Is it my turn now?
It's turn.
It's Tagwith's turn.
You, Paris, you got an hour and a half. We got Tagwith up.
Well,
didn't we?
Miles was talking about Rob Bentele.
Wait, what was your question there, Ferris? I didn't catch it. It like muted.
I was just gonna say, didn't we already choose George for Tech? Or am I like completely?
We're staking it. So you got the first pick. So you get eight and then nine. So now Tegwith's up here. Yeah, it does seem like Rob would be somebody that she probably
would absolutely love.
But Rob won. do we really want to, does Tegwith not showing here get a winner? Come on. I don't know about that.
But he's not in the presumed four that I have created.
That you have made up. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Rob, would Rob be a good pick for her?
No, I'm like, does she really deserve a winner here? Like, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else from the AU tribe that we think is just doomed from the start?
I mean,
okay,
we have kings and gods.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Can I just make? I want to make an argument for a specific player that I think we should choose for Tech. Okay.
Okay.
I think we should choose Janine.
Okay.
Because I think Janine's an incredible player, but I think Janine could be shadowed as well by a lot of huge, huge players. And if Janine does make it to the end, unless she absolutely wiped out everyone, I don't know about her chances of winning compared to the rest of the tribe. That's my
thoughts. Okay, I like that because I do feel like Janine's probably coming in having to do the most to win. Yes. Because especially yes. with seven AU, well, everybody knows the AUs. Yeah, that's exactly it. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, I can get behind that. McKenna, would you be okay with us giving Janine? I don't want you to be like...
Janine is third from the bottom for me.
Okay, so you're fine.
I don't know her. So.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because you didn't actually watch her season, did you?
Nope.
Look at this. We are just a hodgepodge. What a mess. I can't believe that I'm on a podcast finally for Australian Survivor where I've seen the most seasons. This is unbelievable. It took me my whole life to get to this moment. Thank God Tegwith's not here to show me up. This is awesome.
Phil, I think you've seen more Australian Survivor seasons than me at this point as well.
I have.
Yeah.
I've seen everything. Yeah. I mean, I'm there now. It just, when I did it with Miles, when we had Miles on like 2 months ago, I think I had just I just finished Blood vs. Water. So I hadn't done Heroes Villains. I hadn't done Titans Rebels. I hadn't done like two of the best seasons. And Miles was giving me such a hard time. And when we were doing his season live, I asked him before, I'm like, how do we do? He's like, you guys didn't know all your stuff. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know all my stuff. I had no idea what was going on half the time.
Yeah, look,
still won't know all our stuff.
Yeah.
Miles is definitely a more credible winner than I am. He's a lot more professional when he comes to these things. Me? No fucking clue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Miles knows everything. He's a super fan. So, hey, look, I can officially say, you know, probably within 3 hours of getting off this podcast, I'll be able to officially say I've seen every episode of Australian Survivor. Like, I'm that close to finishing.
Let me know what you think, Phil.
I will. Look, for you. It's yeah, exactly. It's been very enjoyable watching Titans for sure. This is the first season other than Christy's season. I did know Mark won also. I don't think I knew Liz won until a little bit later on, but with this is the first season where I really know, like, watch for Kirby. I know Ferris wins. So I'm like, okay, you know, you're already watching from that lens. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you trying to find like the negatives in those games? And I've just been like, yeah, no, this is fun. Like, I'm into it. This is good. So, it's not ruining the season for me the way that would ruin some other seasons if you knew the winner going in.
Yeah,
so,
true.
like Blood versus Water, for example. Like, knowing Mark won that season, I was like, oh my God. Like, it's not Mark. Mark's not the problem. It's just like, there's maybe four players on that season. Like, it's brutal.
I'm brutal.
So, all right. I get my pick now. So this is like where it's kind of funny because I knew we would go really heavy on Australia here. Five of the first seven people picked Australia, or five of the first six picked Australia, and then Parvati being the other one. This is kind of where I expected. I do feel like I have a take maybe on some of the world players that none of us really know and are probably going to be the leftovers just because we don't know them. Because I think there's 67 episodes of Quebec that Shannon Gus watched or something like that. Like, I'm not doing that. Shannon Gus is a better person than me. I'm not doing that.
Oh, or an alien as well. I don't think she's human, Shannon. She can't. That amount of episodes of Survivor can't be normal. That's ridiculous.
Shannon doesn't have an off switch. Yeah, either, no. So she's just like, I'm going to keep going. This is what I'm like. I saw that post. She's like, I watched all 67 episodes, so you don't have to. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to listen to you talk about 67 episodes because that's going to make me feel bad about myself.
Like, Shannon, when did you eat?
Yeah.
Forget about sleeping.
Yeah. So, look, I love – look, Tony's one of my all-time favorites. I love Tony. Like, how can you not love Tony? Two-time winner. Probably, I think most people consider him to be the best player in Survivor history. Just two-time winner, the way he played, played more aggressively, played a much more target-on-your-back game than Sandra did. But I just, I don't think that he can pull this season off. So I will go with Ceri, and I'll go with the optimism of Ceri before season 50 gets her win here on AU versus the World. Or let's be honest, if she doesn't get her win, she'll finish fourth or fifth and play a great game and go out in some bullshit fashion like she always does. And everybody will be super mad, and that'll be that. So
this is the pre-merge idol play season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is going to be something, right? Like Ferris, I know, again, you haven't watched, I know you haven't seen much, or you haven't seen any U.S. Survivor. Ceri has never been voted off by the majority of her tribe. So she's never made it to the end. The only, because she goes home 1-0 at a final three. She goes home in fire at a final four. She goes home because of an idol play when it's a 3-2-2 or a 3-3-2 wow. split. And then she goes home in a no vote final six. Like, literally everybody plays an advantage. She doesn't have one. So she goes home. That's how Ceri has gone out every day.
That's such an interesting fact. So she's never been voted out by the majority. So her social game must be incredible.
It's incredible. Kind of like, that's why,
yeah.
Yeah, that's why she's considered the greatest to never win. And like, this is when I would talk about, like, I don't know who King George is. I don't know who this person is. People would be like, how do you not know that? That's how it is with Ceri. Like, you got to, like, Ferris, this is one where you're like, oh, I know. No, Ceri is great. You're right. You just agree.
You just agree. Nod your head.
Yeah, well, interesting. You see, you know what? That actually may make me watch it, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Those times. You might have
Miles done. Miles did have a good point about Ceri. I hate to, like, admit it about her, but she lasts long. Yes, she is good socially and strategically, but she is not going to win a challenge. She's not a challenge threat. So in the late game, you always know she probably won't have immunity, and odds are she probably won't have an idol.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Wow.
So, yeah, you can literally go Ferris. You can go season 12, season 13, season 16 if you want to, because then you'd get the first part.
He's just not going to do it, though.
You get the first Ceri.
Now it's 2.5 years.
Yeah, you could get the first Ceri, the first Parv, and then both of them playing together in fans versus favorites. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I'll get on the come on.
He'll do it tomorrow.
I know. I can't wait for your tweets about, man, there's going to be a tweet tomorrow that's going to say, Parvi and Ceri are boring as hell. And I'm going to be like, he's not watching, everybody. He's not watching.
We just delete this podcast. It never happened.
He can't hurt you, everyone. He can't hurt you. Unbelievable. So, Ferris, you get your back-to-back picks here. So these will be your last two picks because, you know, you went first and you rigged it so you could go first. Now you get the last two. There's only two AU people left, and it's David and it's Luke. So either you're taking both of them or you're actually going to have to go out on, like, a little bit of a limb here. And I'm curious to hear what the argument would be if you go without one of them here.
Okay. I think I know.
Okay.
I think I want to go... I would choose Luke, and I think Luke is a great pick, by the way. I would have chosen Luke as my second pick regardless. I think Luke, I won't go David because I think if David's not out in the first hour in the Australian tribe, something's going on. I think he is the biggest target in that Australian tribe in every sense of the word. I think he's a challenge threat. He's the person that's taking your he's the person that's taking your screen time if you want screen time. And again, like, a lot of these players definitely think about these things now. Like, going on a couple of times, they want to make sure that they're the main character, especially in a season like this. So I think for every reason under the sun, David will not win. And if he does, then honestly, at this point, that's for you, David.
Hello. Like,
what? Does this guy just win everything? No, but
honestly, I need to say, for everybody listening, that was a double middle finger right there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're watching, he's just winning all the competitions on Earth. Like, go screw yourself, David. Yeah. Honestly,
he just won
two million
yeah. or whatever it was on he broke Deal or No Deal Island. They still haven't announced that it's coming back because I think he literally broke the game and they don't know how to make it better for season three.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, ridiculous. So yeah, that's the reason why I'm not choosing David. And I'm sure he'll be fine without me choosing him for his, you know, for the draft.
He's gonna be upset. He's gonna watch this and be like, Ferris, we're no longer friends.
He's going to be crying with all his $100 bills that he's won.
Yeah, the Woody Harrelson meme of just wiping his face. Yeah. I want to talk about Luke. Let's talk about Luke, though, because you took Luke. Yeah. Luke was, when I said on the podcast with Miles, I had said Luke was probably who I was rooting for, who I thought could win this season. Ultimately, I didn't take Luke because I took Shawnee to mess with McKenna. And then if Ceree's still there in round two, I can't not take her. If Tegwith was here, she would have taken Ceree. So Luke probably would have been on my team. I love Luke though. His survivor character is so fascinating to me. I like his backstory with his family and everything like that. I know his daughter's like going through health situation and everything like that. And he's just so rootable. And it was crazy for Australian Survivor to get that so early on with how rootable he was, like the People's Champ and everything like that. So yeah, I feel like he's got a lot of potential to win this season. He's the most connected on that tribe too. And I feel like everybody probably still keeps in touch with him in some way. So I can't imagine he goes early.
I think Luke has a very special type of personality, especially for Survivor, where everyone thinks that they're friends with Luke. Mm-hmm. Everyone feels like they're Luke's friends. And I think there's a certain amount of people that have that characteristic where you just feel like Luke makes you feel like you matter in a more personable way. And I think that's very, very important. Not only that, he's extremely charming. He's very, very cheeky, and he gets away with it. And I think that's a huge advantage to have in Survivor. If you have a cheeky personality that you can somewhat smile and get away with, that's an insane advantage. I had that. That was one thing that worked for me so well, where I could be somewhat cheeky in a game of cheekiness and, you know, untrustworthiness, but you can kind of get away with it because of the relationships you've built or whatever charm you might have had. And I think Luke has all of that. And I think if Luke does make it to Merge, or if he even speaks to anyone on the other tribe, I think he'll definitely have them wrapped around his finger.
Yeah,
he has the personality and the threat level as well to make it far. I think there are so many other on paper threats bigger than Luke. I still think Luke is an insane threat, but I think people have bigger fish to fry on that tribe. And I don't think Luke is one of them, especially with the connections he has on top of that. I think he's a great winner pick. That's my thing.
And I think with him having played on a season that had some returning players and stuff like he's already kind of played that, like he came back and played knowing what it was like to have a target on your back, to be somebody who has to acclimate to the rest of the tribe. To me, like James Barber here says, I need Luke and Tony to make a spy shack together. Like Luke and Tony getting together would be epic. Like Luke and Tony ever getting to play on the same tribe would just be awesome because they're just these massive, massive, massive personalities. And I do hope we're able to get to that point because they just have fun. Like, again, Ferris, like Tony just has fun playing Survivor. He goes out there and he plays it. And he plays the AU style of game. And he was so big for the US version because we were going through a really rough stretch of seasons. And he comes out and he plays and Kageyan is so beloved. And a lot of that has to do with how Tony plays on that season. I think he fits in well here if he can get with some of those AU players. I don't know how he fits with his starting tribe, but with those AU players, and especially somebody like Luke has connections all over the place. And if he gets to the end, he wins. Like you might've just snagged the winner of the season with the eighth pick. And there's only there's like 12 picks. That's pretty good.
I think he's got a pretty good chance at making it far. Now for my third and last pick, I will take Cass.
Okay.
Oh, that hurt.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm looking at what I'm working with, and I actually think Cass is a great pick. I think Cass is a really, really good pick. I haven't seen her seasons, and the reason why I'm saying she's a great pick is because her background, her threat level isn't probably going to be one of the lowest. Like her, Tommy, and Lisa, I think their threat levels are going to be the lowest out of anyone. Not only that, she seems very, very charming and very bubbly and very likable. Just from the promo that I've seen, it was like a 30-second promo, not even. I wanted to watch more of her. And that in itself speaks volumes. She's a very smiley person. She looks very positive. Again, that sort of personality goes far in a very serious season filled with serious players that want to prove a point about something. And then you have sweet little Cass just, you know, coming along and just wants to play with everyone. But really, I think she could be a huge dark horse. So yeah, Cass will be my third and last pick.
Oh, that hurt because Cass was going to be my next pick. And she seems like she's just like a physical beast that she's not going early because I looked at her page. She won 5 individual challenges. She won a bunch of tribal challenges with her tribe. So I this was a steal last pick for sure.
Ferris, I can't even pretend I know who Cass is. So like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to say Cass was not on my list. Okay. No way at all was Cass on my list. So, it's tough with the world players because like I said, I put off AU for so long. So like going and being like, oh wow, these are the 4 players. Let me go watch New Zealand. Let me go watch Quebec. Let me go watch whatever, South Africa. That was just not going to happen. Finland, like it wasn't going to happen, but there is an excitement that I have for some of these people coming on. So like I am excited to see how they'll interact. Like I like that for me, I'm getting 10 players I know and 4 players that I feel like I'm going to get to know. And I'm not mad that I'm getting to know them, right? Like they're obviously their first place or runners up. Like that's fun for an all-star season to have a little bit of the unknown. Cass was the person that was definitely though, like the 4th of those 4. Like I hadn't done any research on her at all.
I'm actually very excited for these. Those specific international players, excluding the US, I think they will bring something to the game that nobody has seen. I feel like when you watch survivors all around the world, they all have a very little tick about them, whether it's a style or even a specific strategy that has never been used or seen. I can guarantee there is so much more out there that hasn't been done or seen or heard of. And I feel like these international players might be the reason why we might see some of that stuff in this season, things that we've never seen before. Like I personally heard South Africa's strategy is on a completely different level, is on an insane level of strategy. So I'm excited to see the new sort of things and dynamics that they can bring to, you know, your typical US or Australian Survivor season.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that this will be good for Australian Survivor, like this season, the fact that Australian Survivor is the one hosting it, do you think that the ratings will go up? Because I know part of the reason that people said that JLP was ultimately let go is because like ratings were going down. I think JLP said that in his statement of, you know, I enjoyed doing this, but ratings have been down recently and they wanted to go a different direction. Do you think that this will help elevate it and maybe they will, like US Survivor players, I feel like, might not go over to Australian Survivor as much, but do you think they'll start pulling from some of these other popular franchises and kind of 100%. Build like a conglomerate?
100%, 100%. I think not only will it open their eyes to, you know, some of the gems we have in Australia, but it'll also open up the eyes to the style of game. It's completely different. I'm sorry, but US Survivor and Australian Survivor are 2 different shows. Completely different.
Yeah, they are.
Like, in so many different ways, down to the editing and filming. Like, when I'm watching Australian Survivor, it actually feels like I'm watching a Hollywood movie. When I'm watching, US Survivor, it feels like I'm actually watching a reality show. Like, it feels more real. So, it's going to, I reckon, open up the doors to a lot of people who haven't seen Survivor through a specific lens. And that might actually be just what Australian Survivor needs, to be honest.
Yeah.
And with this shortened version of it, I don't know if they are or how many non-elimination rounds that they would have, but could you sense when something like that was happening in the game? Could you be like, oh, this, yeah, we're not doing anything like this. No one's getting voted out here.
Yeah. You can kind of sense it. Was the question was like when a non-elimination is about to happen, could you sense that it's about to happen? Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You can kind of see, like, because you're doing pretty much the same thing every single day behind scenes. So when something slightly changes in, like let's just say you're going to the tribal council slightly earlier. Usually it's at night, but now I can see it's sunset. Why are we here a bit early? Mm. Like, you can kind of, like, you start to ask these questions that when you do something every day and something slightly changes in your day-to-day, you can kind of sense that something's going to happen.
Hey, so Ferris, we have a surprise for you here. Are you ready?
Exactly how I expected her to.
You still are able to take one last pick for your draft team.
You know what?
Let her choose and kick her out again.
Ferris, yes, you should.
The reason why we were dragging that out a bit with asking questions, like, obviously I still have one more pick before Tegwith, but I was texting Tegwith and she was like, I'm up. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. I'm here. I'm ready. And I was like, well, you still have one pick left, so don't worry. So that's why we had to drag and ask some questions too. Ferris, do you have any kind words?
Does she know her picks? That's the question. I did tell her.
Honestly, I've got a pretty good team. How did that happen?
No, wait, you're happy with King George? We thought you'd be unhappy with King George.
Yeah, I'm trying to spin it, guys.
Oh, okay.
Horrible. I hate him.
I'm trying to spin it and make it a positive thing. No, George is, he's, I've got, you know what? Is the draft good TV? Because also, I'm going to win that.
We decided the scoring ahead of time. It's all based on placement, individual immunity wins, and correct advantage plays. So nothing about good TV. Sorry, Tegwith, you're out. You're out on the no points there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? For everyone listening, I like to come in with the biggest bang I can. So that's why I decided to come in an hour and 15 minutes late. but I am excited to be here. Ferris, hello. How are you?
How are you? Good. How are you? Sorry, we've just been all over the place the last
as hour, you so. Should be as you should be. Okay, so I have a pick. That's crazy.
No, not yet though. I still get the pick before you, so right, don't worry. Yeah, anybody you particularly want that's left, because I will take them if that's what you're thinking.
I'm not going to tell you.
You have the world team, except for Cass. You have Tony and Dave.
I wrote it down. I'll send you a picture.
Thank you.
There you go. I do. I have it typed up too. Yeah, this has been a fun podcast, Tegwith. You're early on. Don't listen to the beginning of the podcast because, you know, Ferris just goes off. She's never on time. She's done this to me before. Like, I
stood me up every time.
You should. It's well deserved. Everyone, rip me. I deserve it.
I mean, just for the record, Tegwith was texting me at like 10:30 last night. She was amped. So, like, it's not that Tegwith forgot. She just, she was too amped.
I had 15 alarms set, everybody. 15.
I love that.
Wait, like, actually 15?
Like, actually 15. I'm not exaggerating. I had 15 alarms set.
I love that. Did you have a good sleep, though? That's all that matters. As long as it was worth it.
I had
it
has a to be great worth sleep. It. Okay, I really did. I slept really well.
You are forgiven.
I was even sleeping into my Survivor shirt. Look, it's got a little logo on it too. So I was even like, I don't even need to get ready that much. Okay. Phil, make your pick.
All right, I am. I was looking up people because I'm not going to take Tony because I already said this. I feel like Tony is like, Tony's like one of my all-time favorites and it'd be fun to have him. But at the same time, I just don't feel like Tony can pull this off for a third time. I feel like Parvati and Sari would want to vote Tony out like right off the bat. I mean, why wouldn't you? I feel like the world players, maybe they're scared of Tony. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Maybe Tony goes kind of far, but I also have Shawnee and I have Sari. So I have the best to never win, you know, of the US players. I have like the best personality from the AU players. At least how some people feel from like a female player standpoint, people absolutely love Shawnee. The stands for Shawnee are probably on the same level as Parvati. It's like crazy, right? So I want to take a world player. I want to take like one world player, and I'm just going to go with my my women who are good at Survivor. And I'm going to take Lisa, the winner of Survivor, whatever season. I don't know. She was on that one and she won. And I know she won. And she's the one who says that she's willing to play with the US players. Like, she loves the US players and wants to play with them. Well, guess what? There's three of them there. So if the world teams up against US, Lisa's in it. And if she goes with the US people, Lisa's in it. I'm taking Lisa. So Cass and Lisa off the board. I'm super pumped I got her. And now I have Shawnee, I have Sari, and I have Lisa. I really couldn't have asked for more from this draft.
McKenna's not happy. McKenna's
not happy. My dreams of the all-female team have been thwarted.
Are there no women left?
No.
Oh, wow. We picked every woman. Look at us.
Yep.
Sorry, McKenna.
We're a very forward
podcast. All good. All good. I have some choices left.
Yeah. So the people left for you, Tegwith, are Tommy, David, Tony, and Rob.
Okay. This is interesting. This is interesting because I think there's something to be said about who has. Oh, okay. So I think there's something to be said about like the unknown factor. Or like the probably lesser known factor of like the world, because I think that there are some people who have played, and this has probably been said because I'm about 49 years late, of people who like played a different game and then are not in like the world. I mean, are not in like Australia or like Survivor, because as you guys probably know, before Parvati went to Deal or No Deal Island, the reason why she knew David was because she did her research, because she knew that she was going to be on Australia versus the world. And so she watched a bunch of Australia, which is why going into Dondi, she knew David. Yeah. And so I think that's going to be, and it's probably been brought up, but I think that's going to be a very interesting relationship, because also Dondi filmed before Australia versus the world. And so she is the only person that knows that he won $5.8 million at this point in time. And and she's technically not allowed to say anything about that because of contracts and stuff. So that's going to be a very interesting relationship, which is why I'm probably not going to pick David. Because if I'm Parvati, I'm going to figure out a way to not get this guy to win, because he just won $5.8 million US dollars.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a very interesting like factor of like people who have played a lesser known Survivor. But you know what? To be annoying, I'm gonna pick Tony.
You went through this whole speech and then picked the GOAT. Like, way to go.
Yeah, because like I've said this once, I've said it a thousand times. I'm not here for a long time, clearly, but I'm here for a good time. And Tony's a good time. Tony's a good time. And from, you know, my brain is now decided that this draft is solely, I don't care what you guys said, solely based on entertainment factor. And I think that Tony gives it. But you know what? Here's also the thing. Tony is somebody who played an incredible game, did a bad job, right? And played an incredible game and won twice. And I think he's going to break his streak and he's going to win a third time by playing an incredible game without having to fail in between.
So Ferris's eyes lit up at this. Can I ask you this question, Tegwith, before I turn it over to the panel here, as I'll say? If you didn't have Tony on your team, would you still think that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's nodding her head with the there's no way in hell Tegwith thinks that, actually.
So. Okay, so we've established that Teg talks a lot of crap. That's all he's established.
That should be part of your weekly show. Teg talks a lot of crap.
I love this. Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, because I'm here for a good time, not a long time, before I decided on Tony, I was going to go Tommy. All of that was to be said. Like, I feel like there's something interesting about, you know, like Survivor Finland, because I think there, it's hard to watch when it's not in English. Obviously you have like subtitles and stuff. And so I don't know how many people have done their research on like Survivor Quebec or Survivor Finland, because it's just a little bit of a harder watch. And so I think that there is, I think that there's like that unknown factor that could be interesting. So I almost went with Tommy, but I am, and Tony can speak llama. That is true. I'm here to, you know, shake things up and take obviously everyone's next choice, which was Tony.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't think Tony is the first boot off of the tribe. So there's that. But
I think George
I don't think he's long.
No.
We gave you George because we all assumed also that George was probably screwed early on. And then we were like, based on that and just like kind of the players that you gravitate towards in general, we were like, she would be unhappy with George pick. And like, if you listen back to the podcast, Ferris's excitement of saying King George when he gives you that pick is like another level.
You should also thank Ferris for giving you Janine, because I wanted to give you Kings and Gods, but he was like, no, we'll give her Janine.
Well, she is the godmother.
Oh, yeah,
she's got $1 billion. That's more than enough. It's great. Better than godmother.
That's true. I love that King George really did work out. We did that right. Yeah, Ferris essentially gave the same look he gave when he cast the vote for Raymond. Like, yeah, when he cast that vote, and he like, he pretty much did the same thing when he gave you King George.
Yeah. Honestly, so two horrible moments in my lifetime. Understood. voting for Raymond, and then also giving me George. I understand. I understand what's going on now. It's all targeted. All of it's targeted.
All right, McKenna. Make the last pick, and then the last two people get kind of thrown off to the side here.
We could just give them to John.
Yeah, right? We'll give them to a random person. I was going to say we could let Tegwith choose if she wants one of those people instead of one of the people we gave her.
No.
That would be rewarding.
I'll reward, literally, everyone needs to punish me for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you're being punished on Sunday. I'll drop this before McKenna picks. On Sunday, McKenna and Tegwith will be recapping the premiere, because I forgot how time works and I'm not available on Sunday. So McKenna and Tegwith are doing it for the premiere. And then I'll be back for the week one. Look, this is going to be, I'm just telling everybody right now, if you're listening this far in, this Australia versus the world season is going to be chaos for this podcast. We are all excited to watch it. I'm in Europe the first week of September. Tegwith is out from like the 19th to the 27th. McKenna's getting married in a week. Like, this is the just
guys, I'm hosting it now. All right,
yeah, Ferris is taking over. And honestly, he might be the only one here every single time.
Like, yeah.
It's just gonna be chaos. Like, I know Will said he might try to watch it, so maybe he'll do an episode. Just bear with us. We love that this is happening. We wish it happened a week earlier. Like, that's literally where we're all at.
We try to have at least one consistent person per all episodes, and I think we should have me for everything. It
could be McKenna. We'll see.
But if every other week, it'll be like, who's the guest now?
Because Ferris, like, go ahead, Ferris.
I was going to say, if Teg also sleeps in on Sunday, you can give me a call.
Okay.
Please. I'm joking.
What's the 3:30 p.m.?
I think that's 5:30 a.m. your time, Ferris. So just
I'll be there. Don't worry.
He'll still be up from the night before.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. Like, with this season, we got Miles to do our cast assessment. We got Ferris to do this. I reached out to Adam Klein. He's like, I'll keep up. I'll watch, whatever. Like, I'm like excited. I'm like, we're going to get former players. We're going to get AU players. We're going to do all this. And then I'm like, we're going to have like three episodes. Like, what am I talking about? We're going to have three episodes and we're going to do this when we can. Like, I can't scheduling out all this stuff. Like, it's too chaotic. It's just the worst. We were saying the whole time, if this happened in July, great. If it happened the first week of August, great. This was the worst timing for this collective podcast it possibly could have been. It's absolutely incredible. So Sunday, though, yeah, Tegwith and McKenna. So Ferris, when you were like, you guys really haven't done AU versus AU for a long time, have you? It's like, no, and we probably gonna be kicked out of the community immediately too, because you'd be like, who the hell is this hodgepodge podcast? So.
All right, guys, you have me on it now. You're protected. You're well protected in the Australian community.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Put in a good word for us and let everybody know that it's not our fault. We're not normally like this.
Me gaslighting the entire Survivor community already. I don't like it.
It's worth it. It's worth it. They show up on time. They can get up early to do the late podcast Australian time. Don't worry. It'll be good. All right, McKenna, make that last pick.
All right. I'm between David and Tommy. David, I feel like would have some of the, like, could get an advantage, could play it correctly because he knows he's on the hot seat. But I think between him and George, he's probably one of the first boots on that tribe. So there's that risk with it too. But he's got buddies that potentially could protect him on that with his all-stars and plus Sarah. So he might have some insulation there. Tommy is the unknown, and I don't know if he's wanting to work with the U.S. people at all, or if he's going to want to go for with everybody else and try and target the U.S. people, which is like something I don't want, having Parv as my pick. So I feel like I'm just gonna reunite the family and I'm gonna take David.
Oh god.
Whoa.
I'm shocked.
Biscuit for the biscuit.
I'm shocked. So Tommy wins this season.
Yeah.
Because nobody's talked about Rob, and I think Rob won his season. Tommy was second place. I think Rob won his season. And nobody's really talked about Rob. I know Miles was really big on Rob, but Rob feels like he's going to be screwed. But everybody's talked about, maybe I'll take Tommy, and then we don't. So Tommy is, like, confirmed taking home the $500,000 or whatever the prize is for this season. So I can't believe you just took David. I'm honestly floored. Ferris, where'd you think that was going?
I didn't think she was going to take David.
I didn't think so either, but I was like, I feel like he could get some point somewhere.
I don't, over Tommy though? Like, I feel like, look, hold on.
The unknown scares me, and I feel like I know what I'm going to get with David.
I know, but I think that's the issue. I think everyone knows what they're going to get with David, and they don't want any part of it. And I think they're going to,
I have the winner, so it'll counterbalance. I'll have two in the winner. It's fine.
Poor Tommy.
McKenna's not here for a long time, but she's here for a good time also.
See, Ferris and I,
they took my other picks and I was like left with people that I were lower.
And I see how Ferris won his season now, because Ferris and I played this to win. I took my heart out of this. I took Shawnee to prevent anybody else from getting Shawnee. I took Sari because, like, Sari has the best chance to win out of the US players. And I took Lisa over all these other people I know because I'm like, Lisa could win. So I'm and Ferris, you played to win too. You took Kirby. That's a hard pick. Let's be real.
So if either of these guys end up winning it, I won't be happy at all.
Yeah, it's rigged. It's rigged. They read spoilers. Red spoilers. I don't know what you're
talking about. Janine is winning. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Janine is winning.
Wait, so Tegwith, let me ask you this then. Who would have been your top, like, if you could have had your ideal three people, who would it have been, and who would have been your bottom three? Because I want to know how good of a job we did with who we gave you.
Top would have been Parvati, Kirby probably, and I don't know, maybe I don't know who my third would have been. My bottom three probably would have been David, Tony, and
George.
David, Tony, and George.
Yeah. Okay, so we did all right there. We did all right. And I think we discussed, McKenna discussed giving you Rob as the second pick, but Ferris wanted to give you Janine instead. So we gave you Janine.
And you know what? She's going to win. So
the argument was, my argument for Janine, great player. But if she sat next to a lot of people at the end, I feel like she wouldn't. That was my argument. That's it. That's the only thing I had.
I'm so thankful you didn't show up.
Yeah. Parvati would. I took Shawnee. You would have taken Parvati.
I would have been happy with Sarah. I would have been happy with Sarah. She's my second pick overall. So yeah, I knew I was getting at least one of Sarah and Parv, but I mean,
I think I probably would have chosen Lisa as my third pick.
Okay.
If I could have done anything, because again, it's kind of the unknown. I don't know how many people watched.
True.
New Zealand.
I'm glad I snagged Lisa right in front of you then, so that you did end up with two players from your bottom three. Ferris, I want to ask you, you can't pick Kirby because I know you would pick Kirby. So go with your second person. Who's your winner pick for the season? Because I know you're going to say Kirby anyway. So just who's your second one?
I actually think Luke.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Luke is a really good pick. I really do. Like a Luke or like, I feel like a Luke or a Shawnee type person, like a very, very social player is winning this. Mm-hmm. Like extreme, like known for this. So that's what I think at least.
Poverty is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think poverty, like I think her of most people on her tribe, she's got the highest chance of winning for her threat level.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could, if anyone could win for their threat level, considering their threat level, it is Pav out of anyone. 100%.
Do you think that when AU put this together, do they want an AU winner or do they not really care? Like, is it better for the franchise?
I think the winner that they want is the winner that everyone wants. I think they want the winner to be the most collectively agreed, satisfied winner. They could care less whether it's Australia or the world. They didn't give a crap.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure that whoever wins is what everyone is happy with. And I think, you know, if Parv wins, if a David wins, if a George wins, everyone, you know, most people would be happy.
Yeah. And I'm very curious. Yeah. I'm very curious if this will open up the door to future seasons with more US players, like multiple, not just Sandra, not just Tony, or not just Russell, but like more like, oh, we're going to have a whole tribe of US players, because I think that is a good way to bridge. I mean, look, in the US Survivor fandom, obviously like the casual people who just watch on Wednesday nights don't really care right now, but like the people who are into the podcast and everything, this is like the Super Bowl. Like this is as big as it gets.
I do think it'll set a precedent. I really do. I think whether or not there's going to be another AU versus the world, or I think there'll be something similar in terms of like a crossover. I definitely think it will open up a lot of doors for the Survivor franchise, and I hope so. I really do. Like we get to see so many more players play with each other and cross over, and I think that's what excites us the most. And for them to just do one season of this, I don't think is. I think they'll do something more every single year. Yeah. I think there will be a bonus season. So that's just my thoughts, but hope so.
I agree. I hope so too. And I think that would be a great way for them to get two seasons a year and be like, all right, we can do this. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anything else from anybody? I know Tech with McKenna, what time are you doing Sunday?
3:30
Eastern time, everybody.
I know things.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Set your alarm.
You wake up at 3.
If you sleep through 3:30, Tech with, then we might have for you.
No, if you sleep through 3:30, you want me to speak to you.
Yeah.
Set the record straight. I did set multiple alarms.
Well, you did that too for our Marvel podcast.
If there's one thing about me, is I do like to sleep. That is
What's like the most grating noise to you? That needs to be your alarm now. Like something so grating that you can't possibly go back to sleep after.
King George's voice.
I was going to say like I'm pissed from not the Liz I'm pissed. What's her name?
Don't know.
She's buff. She had 95 jobs.
Oh, Debbie. Yeah.
Debbie.
Yeah,
the Debbie I'm pissed.
I could see that
would wake me from the dead.
Yeah. Maybe we could get though King George to just like pre-record something for you. Just like tag with wake
I
up.
I could easily do that. I'll get that organized tonight. 100%.
We just need tag with wake up tag with.
Like buy my cameo. Just you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. He just plugs ads in the middle.
I promise you, I can live in it.
I'm dead. I will say, in my defense, I did set the alarms. And I know I said that, but I just want to make sure people know. It's not that I didn't. I even set the alarms. Yesterday was Ryan's and my anniversary. I even set the alarms before I left. So I'm like, I'm not even going to forget to set the alarms. Like, it's 7 p.m. I'm setting the alarms. I'm so excited for this freaking podcast.
You know what's funny, Tech? Because I also set 15 alarms for everything. And there's only one reason why we set 15 alarms, because it has happened multiple times before. So I feel like this has happened to you once or twice before as well. And I can totally relate.
If there's one thing about me, is I sleep. I'm a sleeper. It's either I'm asleep or I'm tired. There's one thing that about me. And so this morning I was asleep, unfortunately for me.
And unfortunately
for McKenna, because she got my number one.
Yeah. Honestly, couldn't.
Well, you know what? Joke's on you guys. It worked out better. Somehow I'm going to win. I'm going to pull out the W.
It's because I bombed the last pick and went with David.
Yeah. I'm at a loss for words here. I'm also the weird person who, like, I wake up 3 minutes before my alarm, like, almost every day. Like, I've always been like that, where I'm the person who, like, my body.
And then I have,
like,
3 minutes to close my eyes.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to do that? That would be incredible.
It's called, like, having, like, severe, like, ADD. That's really all it is.
And catching up on Survivor AU in the last year.
Yeah, exactly. When you are just envisioning Ferris voting you out over and over again, because that's just Ferris and Kirby fighting.
You
are
they
friends?
So
are they not?
My face and voice. You must be so sick of my face and voice in the last
Honestly, like, after watching Heroes Villains, where I think George ends up with 150 and Liz has like 35 or something, it's like, no, we're good. We're good. At least you have Kirby to offset you. Nobody else on Heroes Villains that was at the level of George, but George is great in that season. So,
so good. Speaking of Heroes Villains, I do want to say before we go, crazy thing. I was going to tell this story and I need to just get it in there. I randomly ran into Valeria in Fiji.
What?
Yes. Yeah. So it was the day we were leaving from Fiji, literally like moments before we were leaving, we were walking from like the beach to go get our bags at like 7 p.m. or whatever it was when we were leaving to go to the airport. And I'm walking through and I go, that woman looks so familiar. and I'm like, Ryan, I think that's Valeria from Survivor AU. And right. I remember I was standing on the steps and I was looking at her and I was like, I think that is Valeria. And I went up and I was like, this is so random. I'm so sorry. Were you on Survivor? And it was Valeria. And she had literally gotten in 2 hours before I saw her and I was leaving. So I literally, like, it was like, meant to be
serendipity.
Truly serendipity. And it's funny because we were in Fiji, every single person had either a New Zealand or an Australian accent. There was nobody no Americans were in Fiji. And I was lit when we got there. I thought it'd be so funny if there was like a Survivor AU player that I just like saw like day one. And the moment before we leave, I see Valeria. It was crazy.
Wow.
The chances of that happening is so odd. Like,
very that crazy.
Holy shit.
And she literally had just gotten in
with Valeria. She's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. She was so nice. It was a very, obviously very quick thing. She was so kind. And her partner, I think, thought it was very funny because he was like smiling and laughing. that she's getting recognized for
Survivor. It gets recognized everywhere.
yeah.
Right. But it was the craziest. It was the craziest thing. I went up to like the group, the Survivor fan group, and I was like, I just ran into an Australian Survivor player, and everyone was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I don't know what just happened, guys. It was crazy.
That's amazing. That's so
I love that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tegwith running into Farish, you just have to like accidentally be in Fiji the next time Tegwith is randomly there, you know? Yeah.
That's how you
Tegwith might be sleeping while he's roaming around.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah. Just don't do it before 10 a.m. Like, you got to get that.
Oh, honestly, don't do it before noon. Let's be real.
Yeah. With you. I'm fine with you. Oh
my God. Yeah. What time is it for you right now, Farish? 10:45-ish?
Yes, yes, 10:47 p.m. So
nice.
I'm definitely, I would like to say I'm going to go to bed, but I'm definitely not. I'm not going to sleep for the next 5 hours.
I would like to say I'm going to go to bed too, so that I could get my extra like 2 hours that I need here, but I have work in 13 minutes, so we're getting out of here. I know. I got work. I was telling Tegwith last night, I did this podcast, and then I have work until 5, and then at 5:01 we are leaving my house to go to a Thirsty Thursday at a minor league baseball stadium tonight. So that's my Thursday. It's fun.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of energy. I'm on Teg's level right now. I need to be tired and sleepy.
That you were always full of energy.
By the end of it,
he can't make up his mind. That's just, you know, he's all over there.
He's here for the 2-hour podcast after that.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, right, Tegu?
Right.
I'm here for a long time. I can't determine if it's a good time or not. So I'm just here. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Let us know what you think about the tribes. I'll probably put out something on Twitter here. And maybe we'll get an Instagram thing made. I don't know. Austin's probably busy, McKenna, but we can talk to him. Maybe get something made for Instagram where we can have people vote on who has the best team. And otherwise, like this video and subscribe to the channel. AU versus the World coverage starts on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. It'll be Tegwith and McKenna. I'll be jumping in to recap week number one after that. I wish I could have done the premiere, but it just does not work out. And if you're still watching all of our Survivor 50 coverage, it's literally never ending. Today, we are dropping the Everything You Need to Know About Q episode. And then we have the defining episode for Jonathan, I think. No, Emily's came out yesterday. So it'll be Angelina coming out tomorrow. And then next week, we get into like our final week of Everything You Need to Know About with Coach and a couple other people. 49 coverage is going to be starting very soon. We're assuming the first week of September. So it's a busy time. We'll be rolling through AU versus the World. We'll be doing all of that, still putting out 50 and then doing that. Patreon.com. You can listen to me talk about Farish. That is what's happening. It started on August 8th and it goes through until September 26th. I do 3 episodes a week every Friday. Although, as you all know, I've pre-watched, so I've already pre-recorded most of those episodes, but they come out every Friday, and that's my Australian Survivor watch. So go ahead and check that out. Also covering a lot of other stuff. If you're really into US Survivor, Every Season Matters, we're talking about Redemption Island right now, which is a disaster and a nightmare and probably the worst experience you'll ever have in your life. But that's what we're doing because every season matters. Farish, do you hear that? When you go to watch Survivor US, every season matters.
Now you just pushed it to 3 years.
Yeah, he's never watching, but every one of them matters. Farish, thank you so much for joining. It was awesome to have you. I'm glad that you said yes to Tegwith and came on and got to meet me and McKenna even when Tegwith wasn't here, and seemed like you had a pretty good time.
I had the best time. Thank you so much, guys. It was awesome speaking with you, with yourself, Phil and McKenna for the entire 1 hour, 37 minutes. Yourself for about 5 minutes. It was a pleasure to meet you for those 5 minutes. I'm sure we'll speak again and you're sleeping again. That's completely fine. But no, thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you so much for your time. I had the best time. I'm so excited to be watching this. And I'm excited. You know what? I'm going to come back. I'll invite myself back on whenever Tegwith sleeps in. I'll come back on.
All right, perfect. I'll hit you up.
Yeah. Farish, you have the open invite. Love to have you back anytime. And yeah, everybody else, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.